one salesman.
Walmart.
You get all pumped up.
Walmart needs
it. Oh, yeah. All that Japanese crap.
Exercise.
What do they do as a corporation?
Betty's got a giant print Bible. Well, hers is giant. She didn't give it to Harry. She gave it to up here.
Galatians what?
Three. So are you healthy or what's the status? Where's Bojo? There he is. What, you put a call in to change it, but we haven't heard yet? Huh? Today?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great. Okay.
Can you do that?
Yeah. I'm gonna do it, whether I can or not. I just couldn't. Mm-hmm. I couldn't even whether I could yesterday. Mm-hmm. On the Feast of Pentecost, a lot of things happened, if you remember. The law was given in Mount Sinai. Before that, the languages were confused. And so, the Feast of Pentecost is always connected with this mystery of the giving of the law. And so it's like a two-edged statement from our standpoint. Before we can apprehend Pentecost, the law had to be given so that your sin would be revealed. The strength of sin is the law. But we can't receive the ultimate purpose of Pentecost until we find out that we can't do the law. So there's this grand sort of mystical circle here of what happened on Pentecost. And so the idea of the counting of the Omer is the final nail in the coffin that we can't do the law. Is anybody understanding me a little bit? Remember, there's 613 laws that were given in Mount Sinai. 365 of those are what?
Positive.
And the rest supposedly include the number of bones in the body. Are they negative? No. I believe that Passover took care of the thou shall not. Pentecost takes care of thou shalt. Because if we are the bride, then we have no what?
Thou shalt.
Bride is exempt from the thou shalt because
the women were
under the covering of the husband. repeat what I just said?
All you have to do, all the bride has to do is keep herself separate, apart, including the thou shalt bride.
But she can't do it if she thinks it's an obligation. She thinks it's an obligation. If she thinks anything is an obligation, then she can't be part of the bride. All right. Go to verse.
Try to be a man.
Oh well. Let's go to verse chapter 2, verse 15. There's verse 16. Excuse me. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So we start out there by believing in Jesus Christ. Okay? But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found to be sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Can anybody apprehend that? If I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Keep that one to the side. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. The greatest frustration of grace is law, or cause and effect.
That verse we just read about, if I destroy the things I destroy, it seems like it describes the Passover, Pentecost experience, Passover. The plagues leading up to past the plagues which destroy the refuge of lives and all the different things and bring it to a point of huddling under the blood in fear. You know? But then you've got this period of time in which you can try to, you're tempted to build again, to build yourself back up again from that place of dependence to a place of independence.
Amen.
The counting of the elbow protects us from that because every day we come out of something until Pentecost.
And there's a continual parade of invitations to try to make yourself independent.
It's interesting now when we read commentaries. I hate commentaries. I'm never going to read another commentary.
I'm never
going to
make another vow.
Never going to make another vow. A million times times exaggerated. Because of the next verse. People believe that this is written specifically to Judaizers, i.e. those who are trying to get Galatians to get back under the Jewish law. It's far more than that. It's written to those who want to return to cause and effect. So if anybody has been in a religious experience or heritage that has a dispensationalist aspect to it, then you may have never really understood or even comprehended the Galatians, because you kind of dismiss it. You may pick one or two verses out of it, but you don't look at the whole. because it's dispensationalist. It was for those people. So when it says here, "O foolish Galatians," they would never think of saying, "O foolish Baptist," or "O foolish Methodist," or "O foolish Trinity." But that's what he's saying. "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you?" Now, he uses that word very carefully. Because if you remember, I started all this by the idea of charming. What is being charmed or being bewitched? And I think I proved to every one of you the last time, or Monday, that each one of you is the son of a sorceress and a whore. And you hate to hear that. That makes you one. That's your heritage. Does anybody remember that? So Paul, I believe, is speaking to those who have been bewitched by cause and effect, by sorcery, by charming, as what the scriptures call it. And the greatest example of it is what you see in crowd control or crowd manipulation. It's bewitching or charming the audience. Well, you can do it individually also. You can bewitch and charm by your ideas of cause and effect. Because you cause things to happen, so you will have a particular effect. Or you cause things to happen so that it won't have an effect. But you must see that from God's perspective, that is being a sorcerer and using sorcery and charming in order to accomplish something instead of faith. I think I'm just went over your head. You wouldn't do any of that, would you? So the logical question, if you do understand me, is then how can I live? How can I cross the street? How can I get up in the morning? This is where the battle is enjoined. This is where God is taking us to a new level. Because when you are tempted to use cause and effect, or when you recognize that you are using sorcery, or being bewitched, or you're trying to bewitch someone else, it is time to repent of it. And nobody would ever do any of this stuff. Hmm? Nobody ever do any of this stuff, would you? Mr. Buckner?
Yes, sir.
I would fully expect it from you. Well, if I can't do all that, then how can I live? How can I do my job?
You want me to say that?
I expected you to say that.
No, I won't say that either. I need to say that. But I need it.
But that can't be left off anymore.
Well, it's not. Yeah, that was the point, really. You do it without knowing you're doing it. So if I could go with the word for focus, then you have a code for your sin.
But when Jesus shows up, there's no cloak. So
right.
You can't not think about it when you did. Like,
remind you one night I did see about the parable of the prodigal son and how fair it is, and how the son who stayed, blah blah blah, was a good son and all this stuff. He said something like, and that's because you assume. You believe that you are actually doing what you're supposed to do. You believe that you're good. You believe that you're actually doing what you're supposed to do.
I believe you are the good son.
You believe you're faithful and all this crap. And it's the same thing with cause and effect. It's like you believe that it works, and you believe that there's a cause other than God. So you just do this stuff. But once you're given the gift of seeing, that
start doing it. I hope that there's some, the Holy Spirit uses some sledgehammer across your skull lightly. You've got to stop. The battle is today and join. Foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ is evidently set forth, crucified among you, has been evidently set forth, or manifestly set forth. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the spirit of the work by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? If it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the spirit and doeth miracles among you, doth he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. How many tapes are there in the Abraham thing?
600.
No, I think it's 13 or 23. I think it's 23 or something. 30.
That's
30.
I think it's 34.
Something, yeah.
That's pretty good series.
Huh?
Yeah,
it would make a book.
It takes a lot, because every week you have to go back, and because the people you're talking to have forgotten what it was that you talked about. There's really only about 30 minutes of pressed down and go across the wilderness in 3 days.
Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. I remember a great debate I had with somebody, I think his last name was Buckner. Gary used to think that the things were different before Christ than after Christ. I hope he doesn't still think that. He still does? The gospel was preached unto Abraham. Did you see that?
Well, I know that. That's
good. But what about those other four?
All right. You understand, if you believe that, then you believe in dispensationalism. You still believe that something is yet to happen. It's automatic. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now James did this, and he's preaching or whatever on the same issue, and he said, if you are a respecter of persons, then you must do the entire law. But because you're under the law, you're cursed. Do you understand what it means that you are of the curse? can't be good. Let's go to Romans 3 real quick. Verse 9.
Where did you go?
Romans 3, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, you see, the subtlety here is, again, people read this and believe it applied to those people. Now, we've got to see this as it is written. Now, we've got, there is none righteous, no, not one. There are none that understand. There are none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongue they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now that's, if you haven't died to self, that is you. And it's you every time you resurrect yourself. That's why we must die daily. And the word there doesn't mean once a day. It means in a continuum. Because once you take any aspect of that which is under the curse and resurrect it, you resurrect the whole beast. Because you've given life to he who was wounded from the deadly head wound. Now listen carefully. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. When I first became a believer, the thing that I could not understand is when Paul said that the strength of the law is sin. Or the strength of sin is the law, excuse me. Yeah. The strength, how could that be? The strength of sin is the law. And then he goes on, remember, he goes on to say then, I had not known thou shalt not lust. Until I apprehended, or until the law hit me. I shall not know that I shall not need more than I have at any given moment in any aspect of my life until that the law whacked me. Now, for some of us, the strength of that law has not gotten you. So you don't see these things as sin. That's my frustration. Because I mean, these things must be seen as sin. Anything other than total and absolute dependence on you. I'll continue. Because you, no. The fact that you continually do the things of cause and effect and other aspects without even considering repentance.
Like we're trying to. Thank you.
trying to make, you know.
Therefore, you haven't really hurt God, whatever it is. Give it a limited thing so you can do it.
This thing about, do you ever know what the sacerdotal spirit means? It means that you split life into two arenas. It's fucking hiding. You split life into two arenas. There is your spiritual life, and then there's your natural life. And over here in your spiritual life, you go to Bible study, and you sit, and you understand, and you look, and you hear, and you think it's neat, and you have faith. Over here, you operate just as every other fucking Gentile in the world does. But then every once in a while you bring all that back here and it's evident. And so my frustration is this, that he sees us as one. He sees your he's waiting for us to be a body, a true body. He's waiting for us so that there is no, it's not that there's no cause and effect, so, but it's that there is always a willingness and an eagerness and a readiness to repent of it, so that every thought is brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every single thought, much less everything else. Right. We're trying to get it right. Because what will happen is, what will happen is stagnation. If this continues. Like this is what this is, Kadesh Barnea. It's a sanctuary in the wilderness, but it isn't the promise for some of you. Now there's been spies that have visited the promise. I'm telling you, it's a great place. There's giants there, but the giants are our food. But for some of you, you haven't ever visited there even. You've got to know we are sitting there at the base of the, or at the neck, right next to the promise. It's called Kadesh Barnea. If you look on your Jewish map, it's a sanctuary in the wilderness. It's where Israel spent 39 years before two of them went into the promise. I want all of us to go into the promise. Every thought. Remember, and the weapons of our warfare. Remember this? The weapons of our warfare aren't carnal, therefore they're not judgments against somebody or anything. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down these imaginations in every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ. And what does that mean? It means every thought must come against it is finished. And having a readiness to revenge all your disobedience once your obedience has been fulfilled. In other words, once you've seen. That means if you've seen it, if you have had a glimpse of it, that means you've at least peeked over the hill and seen the promised land. But there are people just running around being, you know. It was a sanctuary. They were never attacked by anyone while they were in the sanctuary, as far as I know. There was all kinds of internal crap, but they never were attacked. There isn't a lot of written about the sanctuary in the wilderness, in the scriptures, because it's not important. What's important is finding out that they did not enter the promise, and that should bring you to the fear of God.
Like the good thing that's not, that's keeping you from entering the best thing. It's like
Yeah, all kinds of people thought Gettysburg was the promise. Like the time Joseph Smith up Salt Lake City. It's the promised lake. All righty.
You know, there's a, we talk about the deception.
Angela has to go.
What?
God doesn't have to go.
Why did you interrupt that for?
Because I didn't. She hadn't looked at her watch and didn't want to be late. She was in brawl. Huh?
May I continue?
Bye. Okay, now you may continue. I could have predicted that. I wish they would have said that.
I could have predicted. The thing about the deception in the garden where Satan says, where Eve says, we're not supposed to touch it, neither should we eat it. There's a deception that goes on with what we're talking about, at least in me, that my mind says, I should hear what you're saying, I should read what the scriptures say, and I should get it right. I should be perfect. I should be perfected. In reality, what it's saying is every thought.
That thought must be that thought has to be repented of.
It's every thought. It's not the automatic. It's not the living.
Stop on the one you asked about. I should do something. Okay. No, that thought cannot stand. Against it is finished. Therefore, the thought that I should do something better must be seen as the thought. Well, in remember Luther said it was that thought was one of the thorns that was pounded into the head of Christ. So the thought, even of wanting to have more scripture knowledge, even if you're wanting to be a better Christian, or if you wanted have a better life or anything. Anything that stands against it is finished, or anything that isn't in agreement with it is finished, is a thorn that's being pounded into the skull of Christ. Oh, his heel's already bruised. But that's mixing metaphors for the moment. Okay? Finished. By one offering has perfected you forever. Has perfected, not will perfect. Again, if there are any of you who are still in this, I should be this, this should be, I should be this, all these gates, I pray that you're writing them down. Because you won't remember. Your mind will try to deceive you. All right?
We should be keeping a journal during these.
A lot of the Jews did keep journals during these 49 days. All right, take a big guy.
Is that your new home, I
think? Did they spend the night in there last night?
What's that?
Did they spend the night in there last night?
No.
They're just taking their with them.
They got plugged in.
Just plugged in.
Yeah, plugged in.
Is he going to...